Okay, so it's Parshas Truma, and it's hard because there's no story, there's no nothing. We're at that part of the part of the season where we have to like really look. So there's a great book. Actually, there's a lot of great books by Rabbi Sacks, but there's one that I bought called Judaism's Life Changing Ideas, which sounded like it was going to be amazing. And I actually found that it was not so simple finding chaburas in it. But this week it was already, even though the Makoros went out really late last night, they weren't done that late. I went to bed last night. I was like, shoot, I don't think I sent them out. So I quickly ran down. I was like, no, I didn't. Anyway, so I did find the chabura by Rabbi Sacks there. So it's always exciting when we find something in a sefer that I did not think I would. And also this week we have a source from Rav Nachman Mibreslov. I'm not sure if we've ever done that before, and the Targum Yonah son. So even if we have not done, even if we have done the two of them before, those are unique, not regular sources. So hopefully it goes well. Okay, the parsha starts off. Daber Hashem el Moshe l'emor, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yikchu li truma me'kol isha sheyidvenu libo tikchu et trumati. So this pasuk is a hard one. It says, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikchu li truma, and you should take for me a truma from each person whose heart desires to give it. You should take the truma. Not all, but so many of the Mefarshim are bothered by it. It shouldn't say v'yikchu li truma. It should say v'yitnu li truma. Right? Generally, like the way it works is that people decide to give. It's not that we take from them. So what exactly does that mean? So Rav Nachman Mibreslov says the following. Kol echad yavi, it's the first source below Rashi. Every person has to bring that which is good in his heart. So the yikru, the taking, is that a person has to take that which is most precious to him. So it's more than just giving, right? Giving, I can give anything, right? Like guy knocks on my door and he wants it, you know, he wants tzedakah, and I give him a dollar. So that's giving. But to take, it's something that requires much more of a challenge. So if I give the guy $500, that's something that's like a little bit more of a mesiras nefesh. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, so that's sort of Nachman's understanding of v'yikru versus v'natnu. We'll see if there's possibly a different answer as well. V'zot ha'tshuma asher titnu meitam, and this is what you give them, zahav ha'chesen u'choshet, you give them all the different types of gold, metal, u'tchelet v'argaman v'tolat shani v'sheish v'izim, and the different types of dyed wools, vorot elim ma'adamim, vorot chashim v'atzei shitim, and the different types of leather, and atzei shitim. Atzei shitim is a type of wood. Question is, what are orot tichashim? Anybody know? Right. So the question is, what is a tachash? So Rashi says tach tchashim min chaya. It's a type of animal. V'lo hayta ela l'sha'a, and it only existed for a moment. Right. So certainly we would say that the tachash was extinct by the time Rashi came around. But Rashi seems to be saying that it's more than just that it was extinct, but it was created just for this brief moment of building the Mishkan. V'harbe gvanim hayula, and it had many different colors. L'kach b'turgab saskona. That's why it's translated as saskona, which must mean multicolored. Shesas umitpa'er b'gvanim shalo. It shows off its many colors. So what exactly does that mean? Why and why is it that we need to create an animal just for this time? Why didn't God keep the animal around for longer? And furthermore, Rav Ben Zion Fierer points out that there was another animal that was multicolored that existed at the time, but it wasn't kosher. So why does God need this tachash? Just use that one. So Rav Fierer says a really beautiful explanation. He says that a mishkan needs all the different colors. Meaning, we're all, the Jewish people are a tapestry of different people. Everybody has their own ideas. Everyone has their own unique thoughts. And so the mishkan needs everybody's colors and everybody's chiddush that they bring to the table. However, the only caveat to that is that it's got to be a kosher animal, because if it was coming from a non-kosher animal, then the message would be that everything goes. And the Torah is trying to say, it's not that everything goes, it's that every kosher hashkafa, everything that's tahor l'Hashem, goes. So long as one's heart is dedicated to Hashem, you could have many, many different types of Jews that represent many, many different types of, you know, angles of how to come close to God. But as long as the goal is to come close to God, so then they're all good. So that's...
Is there a kosher chaya?
Is there a kosher what?
Chaya.
A kosher chaya? Yeah. A deer is a chaya.
Yeah.
Meaning it's like a non-domesticated animal. So that would be the definition of it, right? So a behema is a domesticated animal. So you could have a cow or a pig. And a chaya would be a wild animal. So what's a wild animal? You could have a deer. I don't know. I'm sure there are non-kosher ones also. Okay.
So why, Michael?
Yeah.
These animals are supposed to be kosher. I mean, how come that concept doesn't necessarily extend to all the bugs and the chaylus is coming from who's a you follow? It's probably a non-kosher species.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. It could be that there's already there's like a shinoi, meaning what do you take? You take the chila zone or any of these other things. You take them out of wherever they're from. You kill it, and then you get the dye here. It's like the hide is from the animal itself. It's like a rainbow, multicolored hide. So everybody would know, like, oh, that is a tachash. The tchelet, nobody says, oh, it's a chilazon. They say, oh, it's tchelet. Where does tchelet come from? It comes from chilazon. I'm not sure. That could be the answer. In fairness, Rabbi Fuhrer really just talks about the tachash. So I'm not sure what he would say about the dyes. Atzei shitim umeayin hayu lahem bamidbar, and where did they get these atzei shitim in the desert? Perush Tanchuma Yaakov Avinu tzafa beruach hakodesh shatid nisal livnot mishkan bamidbar. Yaakov Avinu, back in Israel before they left, he had this like vision that the Jews were going to build a mishkan in the midbar. And so he brought cedar trees to the to Egypt, and he planted them. And he told his family that when you leave, take the cedar tree with you, and that's going to make the atzei shitim. Okay, so that is where where it came from. So the question is, like, what's the connection here? That all of a sudden Yaakov Avinu has a say, has a part in the building of the Mishkan. Like, why is that? So I'll share with you a pshat by the Kerem HaTzvi, which does not answer that at all. But still, again, the question that we have to like try to figure out is, what's the connection between this piece of the Mishkan and Yaakov Avinu? So the Kerem HaTzvi says the following. He says, Yaakov Avinu tzafa beruach hakodesh atinu yisal levnot mishkan v'amidbar v'vir izim mitzayim netanam v'tziba levanav l'itlam yimayim k'shiyotz mitzayim. Should sound familiar, we just read that's Rashi. V'tamua. So the Kerem HaTzvi says, I don't understand. Lama hutzach Yaakov and toat seishitim yoter mishar dvarim shloichin tchila. So why is it of all the things, it's the cedar trees that had to be planted, there were other things that were necessary? So it says Nir lomar v'chazal yesh machloke be'ilan shenatu v'char kach avdu avodazari maser. There's a halachic machlokes. What happens if I have a tree that was worshipped, and then it's aser umaskana nagama? If it's aser, right? If I plant the tree and then someone worships it, is it forbidden or not? Umaskanara gemara, and the conclusion of the gemara in avodah zara is imnatu abnat la'avdo kuli amas firusha aser. That if, when it was planted with the intent of worshipping it, it's for sure forbidden. But if only afterwards that happens, so then it's a machlo, it's not clear, but most people would say it is. Therefore, any cedar trees that were planted in Egypt would have been forbidden. It's either definitely avodah zara or questionably avodah zara. Therefore, Yaakov says, I'm going to plant these from the very get-go to make sure that they are planted l'shem shamayim. Okay, so that is the opinion of the Keremet Tzvi. It certainly lends itself to the question, you know, a similar question to Steve, like why only the Atzei Shittim and not other things? Okay, so that's a good question. But nonetheless, why is it that the Medrash feels the need, the Tanchuma, to insert Yaakov Avinu into the Mishkan? Now let's take a look at Chaf Vav Chaf Chet towards the end of the parasha. So it says V'abriach hatichon b'tocha krashim mavriach min hakatzeh lakatzeh. So there was this like pole that went through the krashim, through the planks that were the walls of the Mishkan. So what did they do? Imagine there's these like pieces of wood that are covered in gold that are going to form the walls. So they stick themselves they're stuck into this socket, and that's what gives them like the firm footing so they don't fall down. But they're tall. So if they're tall, and they have this socket on the top, on the bottom, and on the top they have some like metal clasp that connects one plank to the other. So that's great, but you have all these things that are connected from the top and the bottom. They're not so stable, so if you put a big rod that goes through the middle of it, it's going to give it more stability. Says the Targum Yonatan, where is this Briach HaTichon, this middle pole that we got, where did it come from? So this is the Targum Yonatan. Now, if you've ever read the Targum Yonatan, you'll know that the Targum Yonatan is written in Aramaic. As we read this, you'll see it's written in Hebrew. It's not that the Targum Yonatan all of a sudden wrote this one pasuk in Hebrew, but when you go to Al HaTorah, which is a website that's got like a million different makoros, so it offers two options. Safaria, by the way, I don't think has Targum Yonatan. I couldn't find it, at least. So Targum Yonatan could be translated into Hebrew or Aramaic. Figured I'd take the Hebrew one. It'd be a little bit easier to read. So he says like this. So this middle pole went through the inside of the keresh. Min ha'ilan asher nata Avraham be'er sheva. It came from the tree that Avraham planted in Be'er Sheva. Okay, what tree did Avraham plant in Be'er Sheva? So if you go back to Bereshis, it says Vayita Eshel be'er Sheva. Avraham Avinu planted this tree in Be'er Sheva. There's actually one opinion that it's a tree. Another one is that he planted or built a hotel. Right, this is the place that Avraham Avinu was Machnes Orchim. All of the guests that he had, you know, would sit underneath this tree. So the opinion of the Targum Yonatan is that this special briach, this special pole, came from that tree. Because Avri saw the Yam, and when the Jews crossed over the Yam Suf, Katsisu Amalachem et the Ilan, the angels went and cut this tree. Vishlichuhu liyam, and they threw it into the yam. V'hayatzaf al pnei ha'mayim, and it floated on the water. V'hayam malach machriz v'omer, and there was the angel called out and said, Zeu ha'ilan shenat Avram b'vir shava, v'itpalel shem b'shem mamar Hashem. He said, this is the tree that Avraham planted in Beersheba, and he davened by to God there. And they made this as the 70 amma pole that went through. And many miracles happened with it. One of them was it was like a snake as it would go through. And then when they pulled it out, it would become, like a stick, and it would be rigid. So the question is, also here, what's the purpose? What is the kesher that Avraham finds his way into the Mishkan as well? It could be that there's a source, a medrash somewhere that connects Yitzchak to the Mishkan. I did not look so extensively. But Rashi on Atzei Shittim and the Targum Yonatan on HaBriach HaTichon leaves us with the question, why the Avot? Okay, let's ask one more question, and then hopefully at some point we'll be able to answer some of our questions. Question is, why does God need a house? Right, what's the purpose? And that I think that before we take a look at the Nesivas Shalom, I think that's something that we could actually open up for discussion. Why are we building this house for God? Why does God even need it? Oh, okay. So what does that mean?
Well, that when they had the Chet HaEgel, they did not have a physical something to focus on, to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now we have a Mishkan that is a physical representation of Kadosh Baruch Hu to human people.
Okay, so we need something physical so that we could see God, so to speak. It helps it make it more real. Okay, so again, it's like tricky because there's a very fine line then between that and idolatry, right? Because idolatry also, we need something. So it could be that's why the Mishkan is so detailed. Imagine four parshios on the Mishkan. Do we really need four parshios? We could probably do it in a lot shorter, but what's the reason why it's so long? Perhaps the reason is because if it's so specific and you could only build it this way, so then, that's a way of fulfilling God's vision in such a way that is not contradictory to the Torah. Okay, so that's one possibly why we need a house. So let's take a look at the Nesivas Shalom. So he says, Ita b'medrish, ala pasuk v'yikhuli tshuma. So he says, why does it say v'yikhuli tshuma? We'll take for us a tshuma. Ki lekach tov natati lachem torati al tazovu. That there is a special treasure, a lekach, from the Shoresh of Vayikhu, that God has given us, and we can't leave it. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, mikarti lachem torati, kiviyachol nimkarti ima. So when I gave you the Torah, macharti lachem torati, when I sold you the Torah, it's as though nimkarti ima, that we were sold with it. So shenemar v'yikhuli tshuma perush v'yikhuli v'yikhuti. Mashal l'melech shaitalu bat yichida. So it's similar to the story of a king who has one daughter. Ba'echad min amlachim natla. Another king came and took her. B'kesh leilech lo le'artzo v'litol lishto. So he wanted to take this girl as a wife. So to his land. Meaning what happened? There's King A has a daughter, and King B sees her and wants to marry her. So what does he want to do? He wants to live in his own kingdom, because he's the king there. So he asks for permission to take her. So Amr lo, biti shenatati lecha yichiditi. He says, what am I supposed to do? My daughter is my only daughter. Lefrosh mimeno, eini yachol. To lose her, to give her up, I can't do that. Lomar lachal titla eini yachol afisha hi ishtecha. So to say that you can't have her, what do you mean? Like she's your wife. Elazu tova asali shekol makom shatoholech kiton echad asali shadur etzlechem sheni yachol aniach et bt. So a kiton, I think, is a jug. but it could be a room based on the context. He's saying basically what I'm asking you is that wherever you go, I should have a place to stay by you. Kach, right? That's what the king is asking. Kach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Natati lechem et Torah lefrosh himenu. I gave you the Torah to learn. Eineni yachol lomar al titlu eine yachol. I can't say don't take it because it's yours. El b'chol malkum shat ha'olchim b'aydech ha'asuli shadur b'tocho shenemar v'asuli mikdash. So he says that in everywhere that you go, build for me a place that you will study, that you will learn, that you'll have, and then Vasuli Mikdash, and that's the way that you're going to make for me a holy place. So he says that this is both on a macro and a micro level. And that means that we personally have a mitzvah of Vasuli Mikdash, Shachanti B'tocham. Why does it say v'shachanti b'tocham amongst you? It should be v'shachanti b'tocha. Vasuli mikdash. Make me a mikdash. V'shachanti b'tocho or b'tocha. And I'll dwell in it. What's b'tocham? The Mefarshim say, in everyone. V'alpi divrei ha-medrash halalu ari inya mitzazu asui le-kiton echad shadur atzlecham ki lefrosh menen yachol. So what does it mean, like on the individual level, based on this idea of make for me a room in your house? It says that the Torah can't stay with us without connection to God. Means that we have to find a place in our heart that always, never lets go of God at all. Has to be the most essential of things in life. And that's the way that we keep that connection with God. If we make sure that no matter what, we always have that place in our heart for God. Okay, this we're going to skip to the next paragraph, which is not the continuation. It's like a page later in the Nesivah Shalom. So four lines down at the comma. Haynu hadvarim shetshukat levavenu miyuchedet aleihem ve'im hayikarim etzeinu mikol yakar. What do we have to give to God? He says we have to give to God that which is most precious to us. Otam ha'inyanim ratzon HaKadosh Hashem Yisbarach miyudi shemimasrim lo l'tshuma. God wants us to give that which is most precious to us. V'zeu tikhu etshumati. That's similar to what Rav Nachman of Breslov says. That's what it means. Tikhu is take, not give. Shlozek korek Kosh Baruch Hu tshumati. Masha mosar l'Hashem Yisbarach et hadavar shu atzo ikar hachayim. V'lo kasher notein tshumato minyanim she'enu miyachesem chashivut merubeh. You give God what you care about, not that you give to God what, just something. Od yesh lefarei shakatuv mekol isha sheyedven libo ki ma yaseh yehudi she'en lo ma latet l'tshumah. So the Nesivah Shalom is answering two things. First off, if one has a lot of things and then gives to the Mishkan but doesn't give something that's most precious to them, there's something missing in the giving. Right? To give a gift, right? A special gift is something that you really, really want to have a hard time parting from. So he said, but what if you have a person that has nothing at all? What does it mean? So then how do you do? Kol isha sheyedven libo. So he says, "Kima yaseu yudi shein lo ma'ala teit l'tshuma b'chinat l'rashin kol," like the pasuk says, "But l'rash to the poor has nothing." Atzatosh ekayem yidven libo l'pachot imsor et libo imsor l'Hashem yidbarach libo. We have to give our heart to God. Sheyalei libo lev yudi asher nichsefa gam kaltan avshoshi mishtokek v'tzamal or b'chinat tzamal l'chanafshi kam l'chabesari. You have to give God your heart, and that's the ultimate sacrifice. So what's the purpose of the house? The house is to build a place to God. And that's the house that we build in our heart. And it is the most precious gift that we could give to God. So we have a lot of questions. We answered some of them already. But the question really is, what's the essence of the Mishkan? What's the purpose of the Mishkan? Why does God even need this? So Rabbi Sacks shares a beautiful idea. He bases it on a study called the IKEA effect. I'm sure we're all familiar with IKEA. In Israel, IKEA is a much bigger deal than in America, I feel like. In America, there's like lots of options where you could buy your put-it-together quick assembly furniture. in Israel, IKEA is like the, I don't want to say the gold standard because nobody says it's the gold standard, but it is like the go-to place, except it's pronounced IKEA. So IKEA, what's the IKEA effect? The IKEA effect is that a person that builds something from, not from scratch, but you follow the 472 steps with using only an Allen wrench and maybe a screwdriver, and all of a sudden you have this big piece of furniture. And in the end, if you're like me, well, actually, if you're like me, you just have your wife who's very talented that way build it. But if you're like me and you actually do build it, somehow you're stuck with extra pieces. Things didn't exactly go in just right. And yet, somehow we're prouder of that piece of furniture than if we buy a ready-made solid piece of furniture. So why is that? So he says that when we, it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim says, Yigia kapacha ki tochel, that when we, Ashrecha v'tovlach, that a person is excited when they eat the fruits of their labor. It's probably the IKEA effect would probably also be similar to the difference between when you bake your own dessert, especially if you're not regularly a baker, versus when you go to the store and you buy something. It might not look as nice, might not even taste as good, but a person has a certain connection and a love for this item because of all the investment that they have. This is the first time in Jewish history that the Jews are not doing, or not. It's not being done for them. Think about all the things that happened so far to the people. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Makos, Matan Torah, they get food, they get water. In all of these things, they actually have almost no part in it. Maybe their part is passive, maybe their part is they're the collectors, but at the end of the day, it's all God's doing. This is the very first time that they are doing it on their own. It's their handiwork. God is telling us, build a house so that you can invest yourself in the relationship with me. If you invest yourself in the relationship with me, you'll have a much stronger attitude and a much stronger love to it. I would say, like, just parenthetically about the chabura, I don't know, when we used to be at 8:45 and dinner was served, so the investment in it was still an investment, don't get me wrong, but the investment at 10 o'clock at night is like a much bigger investment. It's a much harder investment than, you know, barring the cup of water, the cup of the bottle of soda, or the occasional like little cookie that maybe someone has. It's a different kind of reward. But I think it comes much more from, it's much more of this IKEA effect. And therefore, at least to me, it is more precious. So that says Rabbi Sacks is the reason why we build the Mishkan. And he tells a story that someone decided, some non-Jewish person in England, decided that they were going to spend Shabbos with Rabbi Sacks and family. And they spent the entire 25 hours with Rabbi Sacks, enjoying the gift of Shabbos. So Rabbi Sacks asked the person, like, you know, I understand you came Friday night, you went to shul. I understand you stayed and ate dinner. But why, like, why would you do, like, the whole 25 hours of Shabbos? Like, why do you need to do that? And so this person answered Rabbi Sacks. He said that Shabbos is Judaism's greatest gift, and yet we still keep it, right? We, the Jews, gave the gift to the world of this idea that you take a day off and you rest, and yet we still keep it. The world, he said, has given up their Sunday, but we don't actually keep it. He said, I want to watch Shabbos in action so I could learn from you and I could see from you what you're doing differently. So hopefully we could use that to inspire the rest of the world to take that gift back. Says Rabbi Sacks, that's why it's called, what does it mean? What do you say when you're talking, like, when you decide, when you ask someone, you know, what time is Shabbos starting? What's the expression we use for it? Sorry, it took a lot to get that question out. What time are you
bringing in?
So a lot of people say, what time are you making Shabbos, right? So it's like, what does that mean? Why are you making Shabbos? It's not making Shabbos. You're like bringing in Shabbos. You're lighting candles. What time is Shabbos starting? So the expression, what time are you making Shabbos, is because Shabbos is something that we make. It's an avoda. But the more a person works towards something, the more love a person has. So perhaps the idea behind the Mishkan and so many of these questions that we had, why is it v'yikhu? You're taking it, you're making it, it's something that's beloved to us. We have the most special of materials in it. We're doing all this, like Rabbi Sacks and the Nesiv Shalom says, because the goal of it all is to do what? Is to put this great effort in to create this great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then that's something that becomes everlasting. So Mir Tashem, the Mishkan should be something that, although we don't have, it should inspire us to create this deep love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amir Tashem, before we know it, we should have the Bayit Shlishi. A wonderful Shabbos.